Hi, you entrepreneurs out there. Today we have a fun one. We have Melissa C. I'm not going to try the last name. It is a long one. And she is of Turkish descent. So if you know her, you'll probably get that joke. But anyway, she is a clutter coach for all those young professionals out there. And she's also the CEO of Let's Get You Organized. So if you know a hoarder out there, you might be a hoarder yourself. You're going to want to listen to this one. Please share. Please subscribe. And love to hear your feedback.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
We're here with Melissa C. I'm not going to pronounce the last name because it's fairly difficult. So any of you listeners out there, if you see the podcast, you can know the struggles that I'm dealing with on this last name. So, Melissa, you are a mentor of aspiring professional organizers. You're a culture coach, and you're the CEO of Let's Get You Organized.
Yeah. I'm dual citizenship in Turkey. So my last name is Çelikkale. It actually means iron fist. So it's kind of a fitting name for what I do.
It's a powerful name right there.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, so right now I run Let's Get You Organized here in San Diego. I'm a clutter coach, CEO of my company, and then I'm also a mentor to newbie professional organizers and those that are aspiring to start their own business.
So you kind of told me before we got on, you've been on your own for a while.
Yeah, I've been on my own since I was 16. I've always been, you know, kind of a lion, kind of a hustler. I've always kind of done my own thing, been the black sheep of my family and been pretty independent. So yeah. I think it was just fitting that I fell into entrepreneurship.
And so what brought you from being on your own for such a long period of time to clutter? I guess clutter and mentorship. I can see the mentor, but the clutter thing, where does that come from?
So professional organizing is a thing. I know that sounds crazy, but I do actually enjoy going through people's junk and helping them release their clutter. But clutter is not just physical clutter. It's emotional clutter. It's mental clutter. It's spiritual clutter sometimes. So in my work, I am constantly using my NLP training, so neuro-linguistic programming training, to help people kind of overcome their limiting beliefs about why they need to hold on to stuff, why they can't live the minimalist life, and why they can't, you know, downsize and declutter and just start to purge the stuff that no longer serves them. So it kind of goes hand in hand because I've overcome a lot of trauma in my own life. So I kind of help people overcome theirs. And then the physical reward of that is they're left with a cleaner, tidier home.
Yeah. So I've taken some NLP classes. From when some things I've picked up, it's very difficult to do NLP on yourself. Have you tried that? Have you working yourself?
It's not difficult for me to do
it. Oh, it's not?
Myself.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I think once you know the techniques and once you know how to do it, it's kind of like your world opens up a little bit. Like your eyes kind of open up to the possibilities of cutting stories, cutting anchors. I call them anchors, like the things that hold you back, whether it's, you know, validation from your parents or judgments from your friends or what other family members, you know, have kind of placed on you as like the social norms or the cultural norms within your family structure. And then it's all about breaking through those ceilings to be able to kind of live the best life that you can. And that's what I've done my entire life, just trying to get to where I am, you know, just story after story, just kill it, crush it, move on to the next, kill it, crush it, move on to the next. That's just been my entire life. So for me, it's like kind of a cakewalk at this point. And like, I can call myself on my own shit.
So you have a very strong mindset just from the short time that we've talked. So how does it, I'm assuming that not all the entrepreneurs, all the young professionals that you talk to or mentor have that strong mindset. So how do you, I guess, tone it down a little bit?
Yeah. So I kind of, I kind of put it in layman's terms. I kind of, you know, backtrack, and I do understand that I don't have the same worldview that everybody has, especially like my mentorship girls that are aspiring to be professional organizers. I just had a couple graduates through my program over the summer, and they now have thriving businesses, and it's super exciting to see all their like Instagram posts and like their business coming in. But to kind of start from the very bottom, we start with vision setting and we start with mindset. So it's, why do you want to start your own business? A lot of them are like stay-at-home moms and they don't feel like going back into the working world, or a lot of them are pregnant and they're trying to set something up for once they do have the baby, because they know that they don't want to have the rigid structure of like a 9-to-5, and so they want to have more flexibility. And then a lot of times they'll also be just burnt out from corporate life. So I actually worked 12 years in corporate human resources before I launched my own company. Oh. And that was like total rat race, cubicle life, like 80 hours a week, you know, salary position. I left a six-figure job at a Forbes 100 company to launch my own business.
Oh.
So I really took the leap and I just said, F it one day. And I walked out. And that's what I teach a lot of my mentorship girls to be able to do, to have that power within them to say, you know, it's going to be messy. It's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to take the leap into fear.
So you got your education, HR. Okay. And then started your company.
Yes. So I graduated with my BA in sociology from Cal State San Marcos in 2010.
Okay.
Prior to that, I had been working basically since I was like 15
okay.
in HR
okay.
and then graduated with my BA, went straight into corporate, did that for 12 years, left the six-figure job, launched the business.
Okay. Now that had to be very scary. What brought that on? What was the reasoning for quitting that comfortable life, I guess, to starting your own business company?
Yeah. So that's an intense piece of my life for sure. I was engaged, pregnant, living in literally a white picket fence home.
Wow.
We had like a white Labrador retriever. You know, we had that wow. like fairy tale life with like the engagement pictures in the field and like, you know, the whole thing. And I actually miscarried. And it's super common. You know, that's really common. It's like one in every four pregnancies. A lot of times women don't even know that they're pregnant. And in this case, I was about 8 weeks along. So it was kind of a intense miscarriage. But I basically just decided that my job had been killing me for so many years with stress and just with being miserable and not following my true life's calling and living my purpose. And that was like the straw that broke the camel's back, where it was like, this is literally killing me or killing my baby in that yeah. case. And I walked out and I quit that Monday.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So did you already have in the back of your head that you were going to jump into, I guess, the clutter industry?
Yeah. So professional organizing, I had been doing it kind of like a side hustle for okay. like 7 years.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're working a corporate position, it is important to have hobbies and to have things that are outside of your work life, right?
Okay.
So, you know, it kills me when I see people that go through my mentorship program and I ask them, okay, so what do you do after work? You know,
yeah.
what do you do when you drive home and it might take an hour or whatnot and you commute back? Oh, well, I just like throw on Netflix or like make the same dinner every night, or I go to the gym and do my 30-minute circuit training and then I go to bed and I do yeah. it all over again. And like that just kills me because it's like, oh man, like where are your networking groups? Where are your hobbies? Where's your social time? Like, you know, like having these abundant things added into our lives makes everything so much easier. Right.
Yeah.
And so it just kills me when we're all living this like true rat race where it's like wake up, wash and repeat, you know? So I had been doing this for 7 years on the side as sort of my passion project and mainly just doing it for like friends and family. But occasionally I'll have like, I would have a $10 an hour Craigslist ad on there, you know, like
yeah.
chump change, like working for peanuts kind of thing. But I enjoyed doing it so much that when I decided to leave corporate, I said, that's going to be my business. I just said, you know, hey, I'm already good at this. Why not monetize my natural talent?
Wow. So now, there had to have been some kind of hurdles that you overcame when you started your business. Like, what was the first one, or what were some of the hurdles that you might have had?
Yeah, so a couple for sure. One, I would say, is just kind of dusting off the corporate cobwebs, as I like to call them. So what I did first was I actually kind of created a new job for myself. So I left a job. And that's all I had ever known since I was 15 was just how to clock in, how to show up for a job, have, in some cases, have a uniform or have, you know, SOPs, standard operating procedures to follow and things like that. And at a certain point, that's all I knew. I had been conditioned for so many years that that was what work was. That was what the work life looked like.
Yeah.
And so when I left, I basically did that same thing with Let's Get You Organized.
Mm.
And in hindsight, it was like, oh God, like, why did I do that? You know, because I created a trading time for money sort of business model. Where, you know, my clients were my boss. I had to set an alarm every night. I had to confirm them every night. I had to lay out my little uniform every night and pack my little lunch and bring my little tool bag. And it was like, basically, I just created a job for myself where yeah. I was making significantly less money.
Yeah.
So yes, happiness is the ROI when you have entrepreneurship, right?
Yeah.
And it was fully worth it. And I was living my joy and living my passion. But in hindsight, that was definitely tough to pivot from that trading time for money and go into more of a passive model where I'm doing more coaching now and less of the like in-home nitty gritty, like, you know, in the garages with the rat poop and the cobwebs and the, you know, dealing with hoarders and stuff like that.
What transitioned you from the actual boots on the ground to the actual coaching?
I think I just woke up one day and I realized that I had created a job for myself and I was trading time for money and that I needed to create more of a, like a package, like a transformation for my clients and less of a like housekeeping type model where it's like, okay, I show up, you know, bi-weekly and we have our session and this is what happens and I take your trash out. Like, I realized that that just wasn't what I was meant to be doing. Mm. And I kind of tapped into like getting my NLP certification, using my BA in sociology more, and realizing that clutter at the core of it, if you don't change people's mindset as to how they collect stuff and shop too much and all that, they're never going to change. Hmm. So you can have a professional organizer that comes every day of the week, but unless you're making that internal shift in your own space, in your own home, you're not going to be able to cut the clutter.
See, now, I would think that by changing their mindset, you lose that repeat customer because you're having the customer 1 year and then the next year they're building it back up. You do it again, doing it and so forth. So you actually looked at it. I want to take care of them. And then after one session or two sessions, whatever it might be, they should be done with me.
Yes.
That's good, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's over 4 million people in San Diego County. So I have never looked at my market as saturated. There's over 200 professional organizers in San Diego, you know, some of them at varying degrees of being full-time or, you know, kind of half-assing things. But I never look at competition. I never look at a saturated market. I never look at population being too small or too big or whatever. Like,
the idea from abundance.
Yeah.
You have an abundance mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, okay, my soulmate clients are going to come to me. And when they're ready to graduate from me, then great. Moving on.
I think a lot of us, and it's very difficult for a lot of us to not come from the scarcity mindset. And I think a lot of us do. And you have this abundance mindset that's done really well for you. That's great.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's like real estate, right? It's like everybody you talk to in San Diego is like, oh yeah, I have my real estate license.
Exactly.
You know, it's like they're either that or a personal trainer or they have like a clothing brand.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Well, it's so funny because you look at it for your different industries and you'll be like, and you're one of the, I guess, one of the rare exceptions of it. But I talk to like attorneys, I talk to personal trainers, I talk to a lot of different avenues. And they were saying, oh my gosh, there's so many people in our industry, but not all of them are great. We're not all created equal. And then the other one says the same thing. The other one says the same thing. And it seemed like a lot of people I talk to have that same kind of mindset. This is what separates me. But no, you have a very abundance mindset.
Yeah.
Now, so switching over to getting your NLP certification, I'm assuming there has to be a story behind a client or two clients that you were helping them out. They were not changing. And you're like, what do I have to do?
Yeah. So my very first like quote unquote client is actually my dad. He's a hoarder. I grew up in a hoarding household. So like that show that we've all seen at some point.
Oh gosh, that's dangerous.
Like our garage looked like that. Our home office looked like that. My parents actually split up when I was 9. So I haven't lived in that type of environment since then. But you know, to this day, he is a hoarder and like, I love him to death. He's my favorite person in the whole world, but he doesn't live here. Like I have dual citizenship in Turkey. So he's Turkish. He grew up really, really poor. He's an immigrant. And like, he just kind of kept those same values that you would in a third world country where you're like, hold on to literally everything that ever enters my house, even if it's like a mailer from like Ralph's.
Yeah.
So like every piece of mail that has ever entered that man's house has never left. And it's one of those things where people ask me like, well, have you been able to, you know, quote unquote, fix your dad or help your dad in any way? And no, I haven't, because I relate it to the same idea of like a therapist. If you had a parent that was a therapist, you're not going to go to your parent for therapy.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If you were a therapist and your dad needed therapy, you're not going to go have your dad be your client, right? So he was kind of my why to start all of this. But yeah, getting into the NLP, I definitely had several clients that were living in the scarcity mindset that didn't understand that, you know, there is enough, I have enough, I can be a minimalist. There's more where that came from. They would just constantly like, well, what if I need that? And someday I'm going to use that. And da, da, da. And it's like boxes of comic books from like the 60s. And you're like, really?
I had a client that it was their hoarder house and they had stacks of newspapers. And I was like, no, I'm going to need that one day. I'm going to need this one day. You're like, this is a paper from no important date, July 7th, 2002. Like,
yeah. And the crazy part too is they don't see it. Like they literally, you can walk into a hoarding household and it can smell weird. It can look crazy. You can be tripping on stuff on the floor and they literally live there and they don't even see it. It becomes like a mental block. Just like if you think of like if you've had trauma in your childhood and you try to like remember certain times of your childhood, like you literally can't. It's just like it doesn't exist. It's just like black. It's just dark.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the same thing like with clutter. Some people just literally don't even see it.
So have you had, I'm guessing you've had some success stories then using your NLP techniques on some of your clients, not your father, but I mean like other of those clients. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah. I had, like, the first thing that comes to mind, I had a family that contacted me that actually booked me for a 15-day, what I call a home intensive. So it was local. A lot of my coaching is virtual. So it's like FaceTiming, Skyping, Zoom calls, you know, things like that, where they're able to graduate through my program virtually and I never actually even meet them.
Yeah.
This one happened to be in home for 15 days here in San Diego County. And they had 18 years of stuff that they hadn't decluttered. So it was kind of like my dad where it was like, he's been doing this whole life, but you know, these people had been doing this since they moved into their home in 2000. And it was 2018 when they hired me and I was there for 15 days. So it was a lot. I think we had 5 Goodwill trucks come for stuff that was donated. We had to hire, procure dumpsters for the recycling.
How big was the house?
It was huge. It was over 5,000 square feet.
Wow.
It was up in the estates. I'm not going to say.
Yeah, that's fine.
Client anonymity. Yeah.
So 15 days, like is 9 to 5 or is it like... How long was that?
I work in 4-hour sessions. So part of what I learned in NLP is a lot of like neuroscience as well. So decision fatigue is definitely a real thing. So when you're working one-on-one with a couple in this case, or, you know, one-on-one with a family, they can only have the capacity in their brains to make a certain amount of decisions every day. And if you think of how many decisions you make every day, whether it's driving and you're like, do I turn there or do I turn there? Or should I take this shortcut? Or should I wear this morning? Or should I buy this cereal at the grocery store? Or, you know, you make so many decisions that you don't even realize those days that you're like beat at the end of the day, or you like kind of shut down at the end of the day and somebody might invite you out for a drink or something. You're just like, I literally can't function. That's probably you're considering decision fatigue. So you've like reached that threshold of like, okay, I can't brain anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So I work in 4-hour sessions because those 4 hours are pretty grueling mentally, physically, and emotionally. We're not only moving the physical clutter out of the home, ready to go to donation, recycling, e-waste, shredding, etc. But mentally and emotionally, they're having to release those anchors and release those ties to the energy of that stuff.
So what's the process? So let's say I hire you. I'm a clutter freak. Okay. And you're saying, okay, I'm going to assess you. I'm going to meet with you. Is it first dissect me and then dissect the situation and then kind of talk me through it, or how, like walk me through it?
Yeah. Okay. So I have, you know, just standard entrepreneur business skills. I have a sales funnel, right? Okay. So I have a website, I have social media, I have marketing that I put out there. I invest in things like Yelp ads and Facebook ads and Instagram ads and blah, 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 all that stuff, right? So eventually that cold lead goes into my funnel. They see that I have a 7-day decluttering challenge. They watch my videos, they do my worksheets. Even if they don't do that, there's links all over my site for book a call. I offer free what I call discovery calls. So just to see if we're a right fit, if we're the right energy, that is where from my perspective as a business owner, I'm looking for red flags. I'm looking for blocks. I'm looking for kids calling to get their parents organized, like baby boomers, like, hey, my mom is trying to downsize. She's an empty nester now. She's going into retirement. I want to hire you for her. Okay, well, how about she calls me?
Yeah.
And most of the time they don't because they're not ready to do it. And so I can never work for somebody if somebody else is doing the hiring, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I look for red flags. We decide if it's a fit. And then what we'll do is come up with a customized action plan. So we'll say, okay, first we're going to hit the playroom. Then we're going to hit the garage. Then we're going to hit the pantry or whatever, and kind of come down the list as far as what that client's needs and pain points look like.
Okay.
And then from there, it's either in-home if they're local, or it's virtual. And then we set up our calls and go from there.
Okay. And then, so you switched over from running your company, boots on the floor, to actually mentoring
mentoring people that have
young
clutter.
Professional clutter. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did that transition work out? Because now you're working with new individuals, young professionals that are looking to actually help these clients.
So I have, yeah, I have a team now that actually does most of the tactical, like, in-home stuff.
Okay.
And then I do most of the virtual, like, mentorship and coaching. So okay. I have three legs of my business. I have the in-home,
okay,
local in San Diego.
Okay.
I have the virtual, which is just me being the NLP coach. And then I have the mentorship, which is basically just giving away all of my business knowledge to help other people be able to do this and change the lives of others. So there's three legs. My favorite out of all of them is probably the mentorship, just because I really love building businesses and teaching people how to do it.
Okay.
My least favorite is probably the in-home stuff. I still have to do it sometimes, obviously. I have a lot of, like, grandfathered in clients that refuse to, like, work with anybody else. So I'm like, okay, my old standards, I still got to keep up with.
Well, you probably still have your dad as a client, being that
No. He's like hopeless. My brother lives in North Park here. Like, we've both given up. We're just like, all right, dad, like, you do you. And he's happy. I mean, it doesn't, like, impede his life, like, his quality of life. So we're just like, whatever.
So what are some of the things you've overcome then as being a mentor? Like, because there had been some kind of hurdles just learning how to, you've trained the clients, now you're training young professionals.
So my biggest pain point there is probably when people don't call themselves to more. So, okay, like, they'll invest, they'll have skin in the game. Like, my programs aren't cheap, right? So, like, in order to call yourself to more, you have to put kind of a high price on it, right? Like, if I'm going to go pay $6K for a coach, for, like, a business coach, which is what I pay my coach every month, then I better have skin in the game. I better be showing up for those calls. I better be doing my homework when we're not on the phone. I better be reaching my initiatives, my KPIs, you know, killing all my goals, my SMART goals. And I have, unfortunately, both clutter coaching clients and mentorship clients that don't, like, no matter what the investment was, they just don't show up. They don't have results.
Yeah.
And that kind of breaks my heart, because not only is it my ego that's like, oh, they didn't have results in my program, I don't get, like, a great testimonial after or whatever. It's kind of like selling a house, I'm sure. Like, you have the deals that fall through. They either go with another agent, or you don't give them the value that they want and they pull out of the deal and they say, well, my house is worth, you know, they're stubborn. I'm like, my house is worth more, so I'm just going to not sell it now, you know, and you've done all this work.
And I've changed. I used to look at it as a failure. Now I've looked at it as a learning experience, because it's, if I quit today on a failure, then it's a failure. But if I learn from it, then it's going to help me for the next one and the next one, and the next one.
It's a blessing.
Exactly.
It's a blessing. Yeah. So anything that's, like, quote unquote negative in my life, which I'm sure you have the same view, it's always a blessing.
Yeah.
Always a blessing. Like, that car accident kept me from whatever, getting mugged on the street or that whatever, you know.
Oh, like, what's that one where there, I just saw it on TV or Netflix or something like that, where he was like, it was two neighbors, and the his horse runs away, and the neighbor goes, oh, that's a shame. And he goes, that is what it is. And then the horse comes back with, like, six other horses, and he's like, he goes, oh, that's fantastic. He goes, it is what it is. And he keeps on going back and forth, and he's just, it is what it is.
It's just
the
abundance.
Way you look at it.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just everything's abundant, everything's a blessing. And, like, you know, those clients that don't show up for the program or for me, that's their own stuff to work out, right?
Yeah.
That's their own stuff. The only thing I can do is hold space for them to either come back to me or to give them everything I can in that time so that they're equipped with it to be self-sufficient.
So what's next? What's next for the young professionals that you're mentoring? And then let's get organized.
So right now I am doing a lot more of the virtual coaching. So trying to kind of expand that. I want to go global with it. So I do have dual citizenship in Turkey. My whole family actually lives there. So my brother is the only person that's here in America. And I want to go spend time with my family. So we have about 3 properties there. I could pick any one of them to live on. They're all on the Aegean Sea. They're all beautiful. It's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, paying, exactly.
You know, I live here downtown. I'm paying $2,000 for a studio. It's like $2,000 a month. It's kind of crazy. But eventually, I really want to have that, like, quote unquote, laptop lifestyle where I, you know, can be a digital nomad and be traveling more and be out there with my family.
So that's what you're building towards right now.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And now, this is a kind of a popular one. When we ask a lot of the individuals like yourself, if there was a new individual, let's say looking again to the clutter business, like the organization business, what would be the first step? What kind of feedback would you give them? Of course, besides giving you a call and joining your mentor program, but something maybe they can do on their own or.
Yeah, I think as it gets more popular, you know, there's that show on Netflix right now, like The Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. There's more shows coming out every single day on HGTV and TLC. It is becoming a more popular profession. So it is starting to get, you know, more news and more press. I would say try to find your differentiator in the market. Like with me, I am NLP certified, so that's a differentiator. I do have a corporate background. That's a differentiator. My dad is a hoarder. That's a differentiator. I have a lot of like things that make me
unique.
Yeah. And you can't, I don't want to say you can't start a business and just be in like the Bay Area where there's, you know, 300, 400 professional organizers. But if you do, just make sure you have some sort of opt-in that's amazing, or some sort of lead magnet that's amazing, or some sort of funnel that's going to get people to go with you versus the other 400 people they could be going with. So kind of figure out your niche, right? There's so many things you can do in organizing. You can work with just geriatrics, like just seniors that are going into homes. You can do just estate planning. What do you do with people's stuff after they die? Yeah. What do you do with people that are millennials and they've never had to like work for themselves? Their moms have cleaned their room their whole life and now they're in college dorms and they don't know how to like take out their trash, you know, like there's so many different directions you can go, but it's like you have to pick one and niche down and make that your specialty.
Okay. Now for those individuals said that maybe that's too hard for me. They want to actually work with the mentor or actually hire your services. How would they get in contact with you?
Yeah. So I'm at Let's Get You Organized on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube. So at Let's Get You Organized across all platforms. I'm super active on Instagram. And then my website is www.letsgetyouorganized.biz. If you're interested in the mentorship program, it is on there really bright and clear on the website. And it's an evergreen program, meaning I take new clients all throughout the year.
Fantastic. Melissa, you told me beforehand that you might be cussing in this. I don't think there is one cuss word throughout the whole podcast. So great job. And hopefully you listeners weren't disappointed, but not getting cussing, because if you know her, supposedly she cusses a lot.
I really did. Just watch my Instagram stories.
Thanks again, Melissa. It was a pleasure getting to know you. Give her a call. If you know a hoarder in your life, you know a hoarder that you might've come across, give her a call. I know she would love to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.